let's start with Romans chapter 1 and verse number, let's just go back up to verse number 20.
Okay. Verse number 20. Are we ready? I said, are we ready? Amen. Okay. That sounds like it. Okay. Praise God. Go ahead, reader, if you would, please. Verse number 20. We'll start right there, and let's go.
Okay. For since the creation of the world, his visible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
See, that's one thing. God does not like excuses.
Ooh.
Now, can we turn there, or have we turned there in a long time in Luke?
Yeah, let's go to Luke. Is that 14? I think it's Luke 14. That's the excuse chapter. If you need an excuse, you can find one right here.
Is it 14?
I believe it is, Luke chapter 14 or 17.
I know we weren't planning to go there, but the Holy Spirit said go there. It wasn't in my notes that we should go there.
Let's go there. I think we should look at
it. We need to know all things are now ready.
Amen. Right.
Everything, and they're all ready at this church. All things are now ready. We have the word.
Luke
14,
and we'll start at verse 16, actually.
But God, you know, we have to be careful about excuses.
That's right.
Because people make a lot of excuses. 14,
16.
And you know, the Lord put on my heart, I told Pastor Short of this so I could warn him. So next time this happens, that he'll know that the Lord said, you know, don't just listen to excuses no more. And so we run into a lot of people sometimes at different places we go to. They've seen us on TV, and, you know, sometimes they'll stop us, and they, you know, most of the time they used to go to church. They'll say, oh, we used to go to church, and, you know, but now we're a little busy on Sunday. And sometimes, most of the time, we all just smile and say, okay. And the Lord said, don't do that again. Don't do that again. You tell them about my love, and they can give God some time.
Amen.
Huh? They have some time to give God some time on Sunday.
That's right.
And so, and come to church. And he said, tell them that in love. Amen. Be nice about it, but let them know that, you know, God gave you that time. No, he told me to say stuff like that to them. And God gave you that time, and you can give God some of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And God has been waiting for you,
mm-hmm.
like the prodigal son. He's been waiting for you. So the Lord told me to speak those words in the lives of people as they stop us, because, you know, it's obvious they're stopping us, saying, hey, we're watching you, or we've been in your church. We was at your church many years ago.
And then I always ask them, so where are you going now?
And they'll say,
Well, I just don't go nowhere now. I said, well, why not?
So the Lord said, you know, talk to them a little bit. Don't just go along with those excuses.
That's right.
Talk to them and share about my love. And
be
and
more
he's
assertive.
Waiting for it. Yeah, he's waiting for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's waiting. It's sort of like when I was preaching about Adam and Eve.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and God, he was like, where are you?
Right.
And the Lord's like, I miss my time with you.
You know, and that's what we were talking about earlier today. And it's coming up now again. Who are you accountable to? Do you have anybody that can jerk your chain? Do you have anybody that can get in your face and you're not going to storm off and say, well, I ain't talking to you no more? We need people to be accountable to. We need someone that we've got to answer to.
And people need a pastor, though.
Well,
and
then, you that's know what the who's Lord, in the Bible.
And you know what the Lord put in my heart just now while you were talking? He said they need someone that's representing God on this earth. Because
mm-hmm.
pastors are under shepherds.
Right.
He's the head shepherd.
Yeah,
so they need that.
I think
people
what we have
that.
Done, though, as a society, is that we've made our social media associates and friends our accountability group. So if we want to know, is this all right, we ask for thumbs up or thumbs down and whatever they say. you know, one of the worst things to do is to be involved with a committee. The only, well, this is my opinion, but the only animal built by a committee was a camel, and you can see how messed up that is. So, you know, humps all over the place, 4 or 5 eyelashes, you know what I mean, spits all the time. I think he was made by committee. I don't think God made him. But anyhow, just seriously, we really need to be able to be accountable. And I'm trying, God's got this in my heart. I got it again, Sunday, again and again and again. He's talking to me about we need to be accountable to somebody that's a physical person on the planet. I don't mean you just go to the church and you show up and you hide. We've done that before. We hide in the rafters. They usually find us and put us to work. But when we were going to church, you know, if we were going, God had moved us to another church, we try to hide. Even when we got involved with Dr. Price, we were hiding way, way, way in the back. And Dr. Godot dropped my name and end up on the board of directors and all this other stuff because God knows your address. But you need to know you should enjoy being accountable to somebody. Yeah. Well, you should want to have somebody that cares for you. Can I take them to that scripture again after we take care of this scripture?
Okay.
Let's go to Luke 14, 16
and then
now.
I'm going to write down where I want to go.
Okay,
I'm
yeah.
Gonna get
you
my
go
pen
ahead and
that
write
fell
that
on
down.
The store, so
okay.
On the floor.
Oh,
so I'm
sorry
gonna
about
take
that.
It
I didn't see that. Okay, let's look at Luke 14 and 16 now. It says, and he said to him, a certain man. So this is somebody that he's specifically bringing out. A certain man. Say a certain man gave a great supper. A what?
A great supper.
It wasn't just a supper. It wasn't just cookies and Kool-Aid like, you know, vacation Bible school. Okay? He gave a great, I mean, they were eaten up. It was good food. He gave a great supper. Now, let me just give you some of the understandings of some of these things. A certain man is God. Mm-hmm. The great supper is the word you're consuming right now. Every time you come to church, you should leave this place full and fulfilled by the word you receive. Now, because we're going to deliver the word to you. Now, it may not be exactly what you wanted that day, but we're going to give you what the Holy Spirit, you know, dials up, okay? So a certain man gave a great supper and invited what?
Many.
Invited what?
Many.
Now, I want to ask you, how many have you invited?
Many.
How many should you be inviting?
Many.
Now, and I want to say this to you, you're going to find excuses. And like our first lady said, stop taking them and stop wasting your time with this excuse makers. Because some people are professional excuse makers. Every time you want to ask them to do something, they got an excuse. And so don't buy off on the excuse makers, because excuse makers are a dime a dozen. They'll tell you in 5 minutes, I can't do that. I can't do this, and I can't do that. I can't do this. An excuse maker, a lot of times, nothing but a liar. They're just telling lies because they can do some things, but they don't want to, and people can be lazy now, especially for the things of God. So you need to know that before you ask somebody to come to this great supper in God's house from this certain man called God Almighty, that they are already invited by God.
But we have to, I'm gonna backtrack on what you're saying too, because you keep saying that word great, a great supper. We have to know that what we're issuing out, what we're serving is good. What we're serving is great.
Right.
You know, it's
you
not
know
marginal.
Song,
it's
man.
Not marginal. It's
great
not the least. It's a great supper.
Yes.
Now, that's how Jesus sees us as a great supper. A great supper. This is a great supper. See, I think the problem, I think the challenge with believers is that we don't see that it's a great supper. We just see it. Oh, it's just... It's
that.
Just,
I hate
you know,
that. I hate
it's
it.
Just the preacher. What a
said,
sermon.
I'm
at,
just going to church.
What a sermon. I'm just going to church. You know,
carrying his Bible by the string, you know, walking
he's
in.
He's just going to entertain me for a little bit, or, you know, it's nothing else to do Sunday morning, so might as well go to
Ain't
church.
Ain't no games
you know?
No more.
Yeah, and so. And
football's
we treat,
over.
Yeah, and sometimes we treat what we're doing is it's not important.
And see, you can tighten that up. You need to tighten that up.
You need to
make God great. Yeah.
That's why God
in your
put it,
life.
Yeah, God. That's
to
why,
where God is not a mundane part
right.
of your life.
And that's why God put it on my heart. I really believe that. It says, stop letting people make excuses.
Right.
Let them know about my love and my greatness.
Right.
That you're missing a great supper.
Right.
You know, and God is waiting for you.
Right.
And most of them heard about the prodigal son.
That's true.
He said, tell them that.
Talk
said, God
it,
has
girl.
Been waiting for you. You know, and say, have you heard about the prodigal son? You've heard about that, right? God is waiting for you to come back home.
Mm. Sure enough. Okay.
Really?
So, seriously, we've got people that they're very good at making excuses. You have to learn how to be able to, you know, learn some moves like you did when you was playing football, brothers, okay? Learn some, you know, you got to, you know, do some spinning and come back around, okay, and tackle them anyhow. You got to, you know, make a move, fake, like you're going to go to the left, go to the right, and make it through that hole. You know, we have to be excited about what we're all about. Our God is great.
Yes.
We serve a great God. And you and I are the only ones, the believers on the planet, that's supposed to express this greatness.
We that's, need to feel proud about
that's
it. That's
right.
Why the scripture in Romans, we read it, I'm not ashamed of
the
gospel.
It is
we
a
need
good
to
news.
Be proud of that. We need to be thankful we're part of the kingdom
right.
of God. We need to walk as if we are
somebody
part of kingdom,
part
the
of
kingdom of God. We need to walk as that we are the small case kings and that we are ambassadors.
Right.
We need to walk and live like that.
You know.
And if you have that kind of attitude, you're going to draw people to
right.
the church. You really are.
Yeah, and you know, because
yeah.
there is so much greatness that we're going to come into when we come into the presence of God in heaven. You're going to really see this. It's going to,
yeah.
for some of us, we're going to be like, God, I played this down.
Yeah.
Because when you get into the presence of God, God is great.
Mm-hmm.
Great is our Lord. Say, great is our Lord.
So
God is setting up. Now, think of this. God set up a great supper. So they're already invited. He invited many. And he invited many. So when you're inviting people, you're not inviting them. God is inviting them. God is using you to be able to be, as it were, the invitation being sent by email or text. You're the invitation coming through the mail. But really, it's God that's doing the inviting because it's his great supper. So you need to know you're representing greatness when you represent the kingdom of God. And that's why I like to deal with all gusto. I don't like to play around with that. I like to put on the dog when it comes to the things of God. You know, I want to be like, yeah, man, this is awesome. This is something. Because the world will play us down. And a lot of Christians think we're supposed to suffer for the Lord.
Yeah.
If you suffering, why did Jesus suffer? No, you're going to go through enough by yourself without any added addition to your suffering. But so don't worry about that.
Right.
You don't have to worry about looking for suffering. You're going to suffer enough. But there's no sense in acting like our God is not great.
Right.
Our God is awesome. Right. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God that heals. We serve a God that prospers. We serve a God that saves, that will take you out of your sin and still clean you up and put you into all kinds of great things. He has a future for you. He'll raise the dead. He is a great God.
A great God.
Said he is a great God.
Yes,
bring my mic back to where it was.
And
I don't know what you just
think
did.
About it.
He is a great God. I said he is a great God.
He's a great God.
Okay.
And just think about it.
We still got our speakers on? I want to make sure we're not messing up here.
In 2 Corinthians, we're not going to stay here. I just want to insert this of what you're saying. He's a great God. And guess what? He gives us the privilege, the honor.
Yeah.
It says here, we then, Paul was saying to the Corinthians, we then as workers together
yes.
with him.
Yes.
So we're working together with this great God, and he has given us the privilege, the honor to work with him.
Right.
So
and
we need, when we go out, we should have that
right.
attitude.
Right. And you are the physical representation to a fleshly world of what God is.
That's true.
They can't see him. God did that on purpose. God could have everybody see him. He could be sitting in, you know, somewhere in New York or Chicago where you can be able to go visit him. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. What you going to do if he did it? You couldn't change it. But God had us be his physical representatives. Jesus Christ be his physical representative so that we could be able to have people see us and know that, hey, I can be like them. The question is, do people want to be like you? If so, come on to the dinner. Come on to the dinner. They were just trying to have a couple of different dinners in Washington, D.C. One for the media. And somebody brought a gun. Disrespect. Total disrespect for all the leaders of our nation. And you should be appalled at it, too. Yeah. We need to stop being
That's
weak
right.
when it comes
That's
to our country. Right. Like we want it. Well, move right. to somewhere else. I've been all over the world. You go there and live.
Yeah.
You ain't going to like it.
No.
This is the best place on the planet to live,
yeah.
including compared to Israel.
Yeah.
I'd rather be here than Israel. I'll visit yeah. Israel, but this is better. This is better than Italy. This is, I like Italy, like the food. I like Italy. It was fun. Greece was a lot of fun, a little crazy, but Greece was fun. I don't want to live there. Turkey was wonderful. I mean, we've been to Germany. We've been to France. We've been all these places. We've been to Korea. We lived in Korea, both of us did. We've been to the Philippines. We've been to quite a few places. I mean, we've been to Tukwila. You know what I'm saying? You need to be, we all should be thankful that our mighty God puts us into his family and in his kingdom. And he is a great God. I say he's a great God. Okay, let's continue. We got to finish this off. Here's what it says. A certain man, verse number 16, chapter 14, Luke. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. Okay, again, they're already invited, so stop acting like you're the only one inviting them. When you talk to them, you're just the invitation. God is the inviter. Next verse, please. It says, then, and he sent his servants. You are the servants that he's sending. Now, we're being sent. Some are sent and some just went. I like to say that because there's a lot of people that do things that God's not sending them to do. We're not just wenting to Vancouver, Portland this week. I'm being sent to Vancouver. I'm being sent to every major city in the Pacific Northwest. And see, when you're sent, and there's some senders and there's some goers, some will go with us, others will help to send us. You need to participate in one way, either help with the expenses
or
of going,
both. Or
go and send.
Yeah.
Either help with the, because the whole thing, Mark 16, 15, let's go there. 16, 15, let's go there. Real quick, can we go there on the script? On the screen there? Mark, chapter 16, verse number 15.
I was going to bring that scripture up. I'm
Here we go.
You're bringing it up.
Well, if you were to look in my notes, we went over that scripture. Yeah. See, because we have to realize that even as a pastor, I'm supposed to be doing the work of an evangelist. That's what God told. I mean, Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. It's a work. Before we were in pastoring, we were working with evangelists all over the world. Ministering all over the world to the largest cities in the United States, largest churches in various cities all over the United States, all over the place, with well-known pastors bringing in our evangelists that would come in and share the gospel and get people saved. Jesse Duplantis is an evangelist, really. I mean, that's part of his calling, and he travels all over the world. Almost every week he's gone somewhere because he has that evangelistic calling to him to help people to get saved. But we're to go into how much of the world? How much of the world? So we're supposed to go into all the world and do what? No, vacation, right? No, preach. We are to preach the gospel to the Christians. No, if there's a creature creeping, we need to be preaching. Okay? So every creature... Every, especially human beings, but you know, you run out of them, you can talk to something else. But every creature, okay, we're to preach the gospel, go into all the world. This is the last basic commandment he gave to his group of disciples before he was on his way.
And I like to expand that with in Matthew, the last chapter and verse number, because I read this during prayer too, in verse number 19. So Matthew, the last chapter, which is chapter 28, verse 19, it says the same thing. And then if you keep reading, and you may could keep reading, I don't know. But anyway, it says, go therefore and make disciples. That's been in my spirit lately, making disciples.
Right.
We can't just allow people to come to church and And it says, well, let me finish this. Of all the nations, nationalities, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then we usually stop there.
No, keep going.
But how do you make disciples?
Teaching.
And so we have to know, yes, great to get baptized, but we need to look at them and say, how can we make a disciple out of this person?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be a little more.
Yeah, follower of Jesus Christ.
And then it says, and that's what it says. It says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, thank God,
always
even to the end of the age. Amen. So we are to teach them to observe. So we are not only teaching them to hear, but teaching them to do.
Right. And so, see, go has now been established with two witnesses. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, that word is established. That's how the kingdom of God works. If you find that word, what it's talking about, go into all the world and teach, that is in two witnesses. One witness was Mark. Now we got another witness, which is Matthew, recording that, making that now a codified word from God. So there's no argument what we're supposed to do. Now, it's wonderful to be able to get established here, but we should come in to receive from the Lord, but depart to be able to go and help people to receive the Lord. We gather to worship. We depart to witness. I'm going to say that again. We gather to worship. We depart to witness. You are supposed to witness, if nothing else, to other people what happened to you. If ain't nothing happened to you, maybe you're not saved. But we gathered not to stop. That's not the end of it. We're gathering to be equipped, to be released, to witness. You should be talking to people on your job. I mean, Joyce is not here tonight. She's helping her niece or whatever. But Joyce is a good example. Janice Heineman's another one who gave Joyce cassettes way back when. And Janice became the one discipling Joyce at their job during lunchtime. And then Joyce started doing it. And then I think that was how our lead worship leader got here, because his wife was witnessed to by Joyce, who was witnessed to by Janice. And that's how our sound man got here and his dad, because Joyce talked to Kyle. Kyle talked to Kevin. It keeps going, folks. So I'm asking you, who are you reaching out to? You should have a list of a hit list. I called it a top 10 list. We've had it on occasion at different times. You should have a hit list of people that you're believing that should be on the post office of heaven. They're most wanted. They need to get saved, okay? It says, go back to now Luke chapter 14, verse 16, now verse 17, and going to verse 18. It says, verse 16, let's stay there. I got to finish that. It says in verse 16, and let's go to 16. It says, then he said to a certain man, he gave a great supper, verse 16, and invited many. Continue now. Now we can go. And he sent his servants at supper time. We want to get people here in time for supper, which brings me to another thing. I know Wednesday nights are different, but Sunday mornings, there ain't no way in the world you can't be here on time. Get up out the bed. Now, we're not telling you at some ungodly hour, like some of your jobs, you got to be there at 4:30 in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning. Get out. It feels good. It feels good to me. I'm laying there, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to get out of here. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. My body is saying, you shouldn't go.
We read that. Your flesh is weak.
The spirit is willing. Flesh is sleepy.
You have to take authority over your flesh.
But you got to get yourself going. And you should, because we serve a great God, and this is a great supper, you should treat it like you're coming into greatness.
Yes.
So you shouldn't just be, you know, just sort of, just, you know, just floating in and just planting somewhere, wiping sleep out of your eyes.
Yeah,
still.
We need to have really the spirit of excellence about what we do. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, people can, I mean, just throw things in the offering and, you know, ball up. I remember Dr. Price was telling us that.
Yeah.
And it's happened before, you know, here the stewardship, you know, people tell you and you know, and he said, don't ball up your dollar bills and your $5 because it takes time for people to unfold them and stuff. But people just throw things in and it's big, there's no care. And that's how they come into church, really late, no respect that this is God's house. I mean, it's supper time. I mean, women, you know how it is. You done made a good meal, and then you tell your husband decide at the last minute, I'm not talking about my husband.
Oh, I got it today.
Doggone. So I'm glad he gonna tell on himself. And then all of a sudden, he has this bright idea that he has to go fix the car
outside, or go
take something out. And I'm saying, your meal is ready for you.
Yeah.
You should, I mention it, that it'll take 5 minutes. Time to come in. And they just have the, I said, okay, we'll just let it get cold then.
Yeah, she sure did. She walked right back in the house.
Because women understand this, when you prepare a meal for your family, you want them to come and enjoy it on time and not let the food get cold. I mean, even if you're having Thanksgiving dinner and you're inviting family members over. You want them to be, you say, okay, everybody be here at 5 o'clock. You want them to come on time, don't you? Because then you're trying to keep the food hot and, you know, and all this. And so all I'm saying is that we should have that same.
Sitting in that oven waiting for you.
Yeah, we should have that same excellence about our readiness to come to church.
The dressing's half burnt.
Get excited about, and we should prepare ourselves.
Gravy is all sticky.
We used to tell people, pray before you come to service. We said, pray an hour, but just pray before you come to service.
All
and
the
that
flavors
way,
cooked out of the greens. But we went waiting on y'all.
But when you...
I am Chef Chauteur.
Really, but you want
to
be a part.
Your meal.
Yeah, you and have that good attitude that, hey, this is going to be
That's
great today.
Good food.
This is going to be really good today. You know, we should have that expectation out there. And are you with me? Or what are you doing
I'm
over
thinking
there?
Thinking about some food now.
I know you want to go eat now. Let's move on then. They came and made excuses.
We got a hand up here. Go ahead. You got the microphone. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that. I too have experienced that. I retired before Anna, so I was for a few years. I was the homemaker, cooking, housekeeping, everything.
See.
And I used to spend so much time on dinner. I used to just do special stuff and trying to keep it warm until she got there. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I said, Lord, you know, I think this is payback. Because,
you read what you saw, huh?
I knew Anna. She was on another crossword puzzle.
I used to try so hard to keep it so it wouldn't dry out or, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible. It was bad.
But anyway. Because we should have an attitude of expectation. And, you know, if you pray before you come to church, you will have that attitude. Mm-hmm. Boy, I can't wait. I know God's having... And, you know, you get some good word at this church. And it's straight. I love it. I always have loved straight word. Don't sugarcoat
That's
nothing
right.
for me. I
truth,
like it
the whole
raw.
Truth,
but
the
I like
truth.
It, you know,
yeah.
straight.
You know,
I like it
fun.
Like that. Because the world is like that.
That's right.
And it's more so like that, too,
That's
with
right.
all the social
They're
media.
More doggish.
And stuff like that. So... Us believers, we need to hear the truth, because when we know the truth, it'll set us
so
free.
So just work on being on time. Work on having an attitude that God is this is a great supper. I got to get there. Yeah. I ain't got time. I got to get off the phone.
And
now.
As
I gotta
you're
get
inviting people, have and, that attitude.
Well, yeah. If you put an urgency to it, people will be like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Well, you got to come. I'm telling you. You're going to be a little. And give them a little sample about the service. Tell them now. It's going to be straight now. But you better get ready because they're going to tell the truth to you. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, because God wants to be able to. This is part of Romans chapter 1, really. Because they did not. Though they knew him as God, they did not glorify him as God and were unthankful.
But then he's saying he did all this so they cannot come up with an excuse.
Every one of these services should be looked at where God is delivering the word. Because I'm telling you, all I do is go and get the recipe and the menu from the Lord and deliver it to you. This is not my food. This is heaven. This is angel food, okay? This comes from heaven. And so you ought to come in with an attitude like, man, I'm getting something from heaven today. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get a hold of it. And it's going to be just what I need. Because it's amazing that thousands of people can come to one service and each one goes away saying, you know, this is just what I needed. Just what I need. Oh, that was great. I mean, if they're ready to receive.
And just think about Jesus. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says they were pressing in to hear the word of God.
That's right.
I mean, and so that's expectation.
And he sent his servant at supper time. Now, supper time here, if you didn't know, is 10:30 Sunday mornings most of the time, as well as, of course, Wednesday nights at 7:15. Now, we have other supper times. But you need to see every supper time as Thanksgiving dinners. Amen. Every one of them. Because in the middle of that dinner, you should be giving thanks anyhow. Uh-huh. I think I got you on that one. It says, here's what you're supposed to do when you invite them. Tell them, come, for all things are now ready. See, and people are dealing with all kinds of situations. Their marriage is falling to pieces, or they're dealing with sickness or disease, or they need some money. Listen, and when we talk about coming and coming with priority, I think about, okay, being a pilot, I think about, you ain't going to do that to the airport. You ain't going to come in when you feel like it to the airport. You're going to have your rump in there 2 hours beforehand, and if they're having problems with cancellations and delays, you're going to go in there 3 hours beforehand. And sit there, sit your rump in them hard seats, and listen to stupid things, stupid announcements all day long until they call your number of your plane. And you go sit in there, and speaking of dinner, you if you're in first class, you get a little better food. And then you're in the back, you get peanuts and you know, whatever they got left. But see, you wouldn't do that when it comes to a flight. I'm talking about a commercial flight. I ain't talking about a charter and something that you're paying for yourself exclusively or flying yourself. I'm talking about when you go to that, and they will shut the door in your face. If you do, I don't care if you paid for the first class ticket, $4,000 to go from here to South Tacoma Way. They are still going to shut the door on your face because they've got to keep their on-time schedules so that they don't get a bad rating or whatever concerning what kind of airline they are. You know you do that. Same thing with doctors. You wouldn't dare come at the time that you're supposed to be there. Your appointment's at 12 noon, and you're going to show up at 12:05. You sweating bullets if you do. Because we know he's going to sit you in the waiting room for half an hour. Okay, come on now. We're going to go back there again. And then you're going to wait, sitting there with no clothes on for about 25 minutes. Okay. Wonder what he's going to do. When he's going to come in there, he's going to say something to you. Forget your name. Hit you on the knee.
And hit one knee.
That's right.
We heard walk this out. Sunday.
And that's it. Okay. I'm just reminding you what we learned Sunday.
And next
week,
they hit the other knee.
Okay. And forget your name again. He don't know your name. He'll never know your name. He's got too many patients. That's how he makes his money. So you know, and I know, there's things that we treat as great. There's people we treat as great. If you're paying for a counselor $250 an hour to be able to, or $750 an hour for some attorneys.
I remember we was trying to find this location because it was in a different place. And I remember I had that appointment and they canceled me out. They said,
we went all the way to get
Congress. Yeah. And they said,
and you
sorry,
were only 10
you
minutes
are,
late or something.
No, I was 15. Oh. You are too late for your appointment. I said, what? I said, I got lost. I kept calling you guys and all this kind of stuff. They said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to reschedule. And so I said, I couldn't believe it.
What? Nobody in the foyer. I mean, in the waiting room, nobody was there. One other guy waiting for his wife. But there was nobody there. And they were going to cancel you. See,
I'm a Christian. You know, sometimes you want to sort of forget a little time, you know.
Repent later. Okay, here we go. What do you say to them? Come, whatever you need, it's ready. You need help with your marriage. You need to work on your finances. You need to be able to get your attitude together. You need to be able to get out of depression. You're a single person looking for a husband or a wife. It's better than the bar. Okay. Somebody slumped over, you know, in their, you know. What's your name? What does it matter, you know? It don't matter about that. What's love got to do with it? Anyhow, you know what I'm talking about? It's a nice place to meet people. Okay, never mind. I'm moving on. So come, whatever you need, God has it ready for you. It's ready now. See, it's now ready. Say, ready now.
Ready now.
Now, you ought to get excited about that. It's ready now. Whatever you need. It's in the house. There's a scripture in, of course, I think it's Proverbs or it's Psalms. There's help in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Yep. When you come to the sanctuary, there's help.
Psalms, yeah.
Yeah, it's Psalms. Okay, let's go to the next one. So everything's ready. So you don't have to concern yourself. When you invite somebody to this church by the movement of God in your heart, when you invite them, it's the right time. It's the right time, and God has prepared everything to be ready. And see, you shouldn't be embarrassed of your pastor. If you're embarrassed of your pastor, you need to pray and ask God to move you somewhere where you can enjoy looking at the guy or knowing who he is. I comb my hair every week. I do brush my teeth. So what?
You're not embarrassed of you.
You're not. No, you guys understand what I'm saying. We should love our church. Love the place where the great supper is being served.
That's right.
Okay, God built this for that reason, so that people could come and receive that supper.
That's true.
That's the reason why there are churches.
Yep.
Because food is served every week, spiritual food,
yep.
Angel food, that's as I call it. Okay, next verse, we're going to wrap this up pretty quick.
Yeah, this is what we've been trying to get to.
But they all, with one accord, mm-hmm. began to make excuses.
It's like they got together, huh? They got together before they start making these excuses. They said,
and people make excuses all the time. You have to learn how, like I said, you got to learn how to do stunts like the football players and let that excuse go by and jump over, move to the side, fake it out, and come back around. Say, okay, thank you, but we'll see you. It's 10:30. I'll pick you up at 9:45. Okay. See you at 9:45. All right. My cat eats right at 9:45. Bring your cat with you. We'll leave him in the car. No, we're not. No, we ain't going to do that. You know, there's always excuses. Let's look at these and we'll be done. It says, they all began to make excuses. The first said, I have bought. Notice they're prospering. They're doing well. They should be thanking God. I bought a piece of ground. When's the last time you bought a piece of dirt? You got to be doing pretty good to be able to buy a piece of ground. So these people are not hurting. And then, I must go and see it. Now, that's really crazy. You buying property and you ain't never seen it. Okay, but maybe you're visiting it again. And I must go and see it, and I ask that you have me excused. You know, normally what we would say, you're excused. I'd say, the ground's going to be there next week.
Right.
And that's what the Lord is telling me. We should start talking to people.
Accepting
excuses. And out of love, you should let them know. Well, you know that ground's going to be there after church. You can go after church.
We can get a Starbucks and go see your ground together.
And say that. Say, because God, he's been missing his time with you. He's been waiting for you. See, let them know that God, and this is what the Lord told me. Don't ever talk to another person that stops you. If they're stopping me, they're going to hear from the Lord. Mm-hmm. The Lord will give me the words to say for that person.
And it's not rude.
And it's not rude.
Because we really care for people.
Yeah, because it's just, in many cases, like you said, you're saying, or you said earlier, is that they're just not telling the truth. And so we need to help them to get in truth.
Now, they're asking for permission to be excused. I'm seeing something here. I ask you to have me excused. Say no.
No.
I ain't excusing you.
No.
You promised me, or you said you came to me talking to me about what's happened in my life. Yep. So you need to come. I believe this is a divine appointment. I mean, get sort of spiritual with the people who say, yes, I know. My cat usually eats at that time too. Forget that. We don't have to do that. We don't have to give up so easily. Because you know what? Some of these people that we have accepted the excuses for are going to be in hell one day and say, you know, I really wish they would have pushed it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I missed it. I missed the things of God because they weren't that persistent. And if I'd have known this was this important, gosh, I wish they would have told me.
Hey, we have to know that when people run into us, you know, in the streets or, you know, somewhere, have to know it's a divine appointment.
Yeah, divine
if they're going to run and if they're going to stop me, and that's most of the time when they stop us in the stores or whatever. Oh, I see you on TV. We say, well, what church are you going? Oh, I don't go to church no more. Then it's really our responsibility to, when I say, I ask you to have me, I said, no, you know,
mm-hmm.
No. God, he's waiting. He's been waiting for you. And so it's time for you to give him some time now. And so we need to really, and some of your family members, you know they're not doing anything.
Mm-mm.
And if you love them, you'll help them, really. And so, you know, when they make excuses, instead of just going along with them and letting them lie about it, say something. And you can say it in love, okay? You don't have to be mean-spirited about it. So if you say it in love, then they'll get it, and they'll...
But if you're enjoying this, it's contagious.
Well, that's true, too.
If you act like it's a pain, well, I got to go to church on Sunday, so I can't come golfing with you. I mean, you know, you look like you're in misery. So you got to, no, man, I can't go. Man, I got a very important appointment on Sunday morning. What you got going on? Man, I'm training for heaven. What you talking about? I got to go to church. You need to go with me. You need to be with me. You need to go on Sunday because I'm telling you, it's something else. Instead of acting like it's a pain to be here. See, and only you can decide that. It's your presentation. I was talking to the worship team this Sunday before service. They were singing, and they were going, I said, would you please smile? Please smile. Smile. You are singing about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was
amazing.
They
really amazing. Need to smile now because we're putting you guys on TV. You were on TV this past Sunday
again,
and Saturday.
And you never know when you're going to get a tight shot cutaway. So, it's not a time to wipe your nose. It's the time for you to shine for the Lord. Let your light so shine so that men will see that you're not in misery. Okay, y'all know that scripture, right? Anyhow, it's not that scripture. But you know what I'm saying. We want to be able to present our God. Our God is a great God. You need to come.
And we're having a great supper.
That's right. It's a great supper. It's not, you know, you're sitting there, you can't stand the food, but you'll eat it. Because, you know, she went through so much to cook it. So I'm going to eat this mush. It's real good, Kathy. You know you've done that, brothers. You know that. She cooked that stuff you can't
stand. Not him. He's going to tell you the truth. If he don't like it, he'll tell you.
Well, you need to know that. You like
that. I love it. Yeah.
I will tell you the truth.
My grandson, you know, they were staying over the house. The parents were out of town.
Than anybody.
Out of town. And anyway, so they stayed over our house when they were young. Now they're grown now. But anyway, and I remember because he likes his oatmeal a certain way.
You got it.
And so I tried to make it the first time I made it, and then I put it right before him. And he tasted it. I said, well, how do you like it? He said, Grandma, I don't like this old. I said, okay. But I like the truth. I didn't get offended. I liked it. And then one of the other times that they had to stay over, I did it good. He said, I like this. This tastes good, huh?
Yeah, because it had more. I asked him, why do you like oatmeal like that?
He don't like oatmeal like
that. He said, because of sugar. About 8 years old, it's the sugar.
But I do like the truth. I don't get offended.
Well, no. You know, God's supper is going to be good, no matter
married,
who you invite.
When we first
now, sometimes you can sit there a little nervous, okay. But it's just what they need.
That's okay.
Go ahead. No, you tell me.
I said when we first was married,
oh,
the first
don't tell
time
about
he,
it. Don't.
He told me he didn't like my food. It was burnt. And and I said, and I got was really crushed on me. I just start crying and everything.
Next
when
verse.
First was married, you know, my first meal.
Next
but
verse.
Anyway, it didn't come
well,
out
you
so
know,
good.
Because I was
but
working.
But I improved over the years.
Yeah, I was working 3 to 11 at a radio station. I was working from 6 to midnight, I think, 6 hours. And I would get off at midnight, and I never got a chance to eat. So I would come home, and I'm hungry. And one night I came home and she didn't cook anything, and I started clanging the pots together saying, these pots are cold. She was like, oh gosh, who did that marry?
He didn't know Dr. Price at that time, so he had to learn how to.
Well, Dr. Price did the same thing. He took his spaghetti and threw
know,
it up in the ceiling.
I know, but I'm saying you were learning how to be a husband.
I learned
we were
from,
young. We
I
were
learned
young.
From him.
We
next verse.
Hey, we're going to have a marriage seminar. We're planning
yes.
one.
Yeah, we'll bring you a couple of pots that you can clang together, brothers, when it's not going right. All right. Anyhow, they all began to make excuses. Just kidding. Let's continue. Next verse. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Man, I got this new Cadillac DeVille. Man, come on now. I got this new Tesla. I got this brand new. Come on now. I got the Mercedes I've been looking for. I got the Rolls. I got.
5 of them, too.
And I only got 4 spaces for my garage. And I am going to test them. And I ask you to have me excuse. Again, no.
Yeah.
You can say no. No, man, this is going to be good. If you come back around.
Ultimately, they have their decision, but at least we can stand for what we believe.
That's
and
right.
We know that they're going to miss a great supper.
Right. Have me excuse. No, man, you should come. You know, be at least a little bit. To where, yeah, okay, next verse. And another sin. I married a wife. Now, that is really no excuse because you're going to need Jesus, okay? I married a wife. Then you need to be up in there every time the door opens because you are 2 very violent streams coming together to make 1 river, and you need to find out how to be able to operate with each other. And so I think Sunday morning will be good for you. Besides, our pastor and his wife have been married for 52 years. So maybe they know a little something about this. So you might want to come. See, I have married a wife. I can't come. Yes, you can. Bring her. I hope you didn't marry an unbeliever. Bring her. You two will enjoy the things of God. You're going to have children. You want to be able to raise them in the Lord? Come on now. There's a lot of things that you can say to people. Okay, and then let's finish this off. Okay, verse 21. It says, so the servant came and reported these things to the master, to the Lord, to God Almighty, to Jesus. Then the master of the house, I'm not the master of this house. I'm just one of the stewards here, one of the managers. Being angry. See, and God gets angry. We don't think God gets angry.
Right.
Yes, he does. He gets angry. When people make excuses and you listen to them.
Yes.
I listen to them.
Yeah.
Being angry, said to the servant, go out how fast?
Quickly.
How fast?
Quickly.
Quick, fast, and in a hurry, into the streets. Go find some of these homeless people. The streets of the city and the lanes, and bring in here the poor, the blind, the maimed, the people that can't see, people that can't even hardly understand. I don't care. I want my house filled.
Yeah.
He said, bring them in. Why? Next verse tells you. And the servant said, Master, it is done. Now, I brought all the folks that handicapped and everything else. I brought them all in. There's still room. Mm-hmm. God doesn't want us to have empty seats.
And we should have this attitude that Jesus had. So go to the next scripture.
It says, Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges. Go look underneath. Yep. This is another category. Go look underneath the bushes. In the highways, the hedges. Mm-hmm. And yeah, those that are, they're not down and out. They're up and out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And compel them.
That's
make them
saying.
Stop right. just accepting them. Make them come in. That my house may be filled. So it's not Pastor Shorter. It's not Mrs. Shorter. It's not the Shorters that got the problem. They want the house filled. It's God. God gave us this much space so that we can fill it. And then after we fill it one time, we should add a service. And then we fill it two times, we should add a service. Bill Winston came through here and said, Pastor, based on what you're doing, you should be having 5 services on Sunday. This man of God, you know, he preached.
But the people have to do their job. The congregation.
We're the servants. You're the servants.
Have to do your job. And that's why when we have even special events to invite and we have flyers.
That's not a time for you to take off.
Yeah, but you're still inviting people, too.
Right.
When you put the flyers out or send them out to people, you're still inviting people. So maybe not verbally, but you're still inviting people because the congregation is responsible.
What this comes down to, really, is being thankful. That's what it really comes down to. And that is where the Lord had me going tonight. And I told you I was letting First Lady go ahead and push what God had for her first, but I want you to see that if you're thankful, you'll see that you'll do these things and you'll be excited about our great God that we serve.
And we got over here because going back to Romans, it says that God, the invisible attributes are clearly seen.
Romans 1.
Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
21 now. Verse 21, I believe it is. Next. Is that next?
That's where we'll end. Yeah.
No, we got one more.
This is Romans, back in Romans, chapter number 4 and verse number
Okay, I want to read verse 21 too, because that's where I want to leave it. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. See, and God has blessed all of our lives. You know, aren't you blessed? Aren't you thankful for how God has watched over you all your life, all the things you've done, all the places you've been, all the people you've met, all the folks that have tried to hurt you or, you know, maybe you went through sickness, disease, whatever, and look at where you are. Look at what God has done. We should be thankful. Every church service, that's what I say, should be a Thanksgiving meal. You're coming together with your family, and we should enjoy it like a Thanksgiving dinner. Because it's a great supper, okay? Now, I'm not trying to be syrupy with you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. See, there should be a category that nothing else and nobody else goes into. That's the God category. You got to place a shelf where only God is. And see, I remember when I was a little kid, my friend, one of our friends, him and her sister, they were actually from Korea, I believe it was. No, maybe it was Japan. Anyhow, and we were playing in their house, and all of a sudden we saw this big box in the house, this big sort of a big cabinet thing, and there was this statue on it, and there was some rice and some other little trinkets on this statue. And we walked up to him. We said, hey, you know, because while we were little bad little kids, you know, hey, what's that there? I forget their name, you know, but it was Jimmy. What's that there? And it was actually their Buddha that they served, the God that they served, where they would worship and put the rice in there or whatever and that kind of thing. And they said, don't touch that. Why not? Why can't we touch it? Well, don't touch it. My dad's going to get so mad. Don't touch that. He said, well, what's wrong with touching it? See, they had so much reverence for their God, seeing him as so great. And they were bringing it down to those little 8, 10, 12-year-old kids. And making us have reverence, don't touch that, don't touch that. You know, when she did turn around and wasn't watching, somebody put their finger on the rice to see what would happen, nothing happened. But you know what I mean? They had reverence for their God. And I believe we sometimes act like, you can touch my God, you can talk about him, you can cuss his name, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter, I won't say nothing. Instead of saying sometimes, listen, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. You really need God because all things are now ready. You're talking about your marriage, you're talking about your family, you're talking about your finance, you're talking about your depression, all this stuff. God wants to help you with that. Because they did not, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's where we left it last time. Anyhow, we'll pick it up there. Yep. I will talk about thankfulness next time. Let me just touch a couple of these things. How many know that Jesus never really said, God, please heal Lazarus? He never said it. He just spoke it. And then he thanked God because God heard him. When he had the loaves and the fish, he prayed over the loaves and the fish, even though it wasn't enough, and he thanked God for it. Again and again, the Bible has told us to be thankful, and sometimes we're just not thankful. And we have to realize God is hearing us all the time. Do you know that there's not an on-off mic switch in heaven? That God hears you all the time. You don't have to really pray. That's why your confessions are important. You don't kneel down on your knees when you make a confession. You just make a confession. You just say stuff. And God hears us. So we can make our whole life a life of thanksgiving by always giving God some glory and not having, I want to be around people that are thankful. If you're not thankful, you'll see me disappear from you after a while. You should be thankful. I don't care. We're all given lemons, but we should make some lemonade out of it. And well, you just don't know what I went through. You don't know what everybody went through. Everybody's gone through hell and back, okay? So we all could write the book. But I'm saying we should be thankful for where we are now. And make it known, make it loud. Tell somebody that you can come and receive because all things are now ready. Yeah. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That's all I got. I rest my case.